When you read your daily newspaper or watch the evening news, do you ever wonder where today's events are leading us? We hear about tensions between nations, the ups and downs of the stock market, strange weather patterns, and new religious cults. Where is our world headed? And how will it impact you in the days ahead? Do any of the events today parallel the direction and events spoken about in the scripture? According to the Bible, there will be a growing apostasy or a departure from true Christian belief as we draw near to the time when Jesus Christ will return to earth. This progression of apostasy, this growing departure from true Christian faith, is presented in the Bible as a general indication that the rapture itself is growing near. But how does the Bible describe the apostasy of the last days? Where does the Bible teach that part of the church itself will abandon true Christian belief? Why does the Bible say that even unbelievers who do not believe in God will embrace a new religious view of life that will be totally untrue? In the Bible we read, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Can it be shown that our society is fascinated with spiritism and the occult? Is this passage referring to people living today in our world? Are we living in the events of the last days and beginning to see the new religious views that will lead to the final apostasy? We invite you to join us for this edition of the John Ankerberg Show.
Welcome to our program. You know, when I go into churches to speak, many pastors will tell me on the side that there's one topic that they hope I won't talk about. That topic is biblical prophecy. And the reason why they say this is that they have too many people in their congregation who have different viewpoints on prophecy, and they don't want me to stir them all up. Well, I find that interesting, and I've thought about what they've said. I've asked myself, should we really teach on biblical prophecy? What would we lose if we didn't? Well, here's my answer to pastors and churches who do not think it's important enough to teach or preach on biblical prophecy. First, you must realize that 6,641 of the 23,210 verses in the Old Testament contain prophetic material. That's 28.5% of the entire Old Testament. God has given us this material. Do you think that we should tell God that we don't need it? That one-third of the material that He's given us is not important? I don't think so. And second, did you know that in the New Testament, 1,711 of its 7,914 verses are all about prophecy? That's 21.5% of the entire New Testament. Or think of this. Of the 31,124 verses in the entire Bible, 8,352 of them are all about prophecy. That's 27% of the entire Bible. Third, did you know that 1,800 verses deal with the second coming of Christ? And did you know that if you average out all the verses in the New Testament, every 25th Bible verse refers to the second coming of Christ? And 7 out of every 10 chapters in the New Testament refer to this topic. And then here's an illustration for those of you who are music majors out there. Did you know that Charles Wesley placed the doctrine of the second coming of Christ in 5,000 of the 7,000 hymns that he wrote? And for those of you who are history majors, during the Reformation, Martin Luther said, "I live as though Jesus Christ died yesterday, rose again today, and we're coming again tomorrow." In other words, prophecy is important. Christ's return to earth is still the hope of the church. And then fourth, even our Lord called those believers foolish who didn't study and believe in the prophecy God had given in the Old Testament. In Luke 24:25, Jesus said to two believers on the road to Emmaus, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. Then fifth, concerning prophecy which is still to be fulfilled in the future, Jesus taught this, quote, Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, Luke 24:44. Mark records that Jesus encouraged all believers to diligently study prophecy when he commanded them to, quote, "Be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time." Jesus said, when you see these things happening, that is events that he talked about, you know that it is near, right at the door. Further, Jesus said, what I say to you, I say to everyone, to every believer, watch. Now, why do you think he wanted us to know of these events? Jesus told us in Mark 13:5, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, he was talking about spiritual deception. And this spiritual deception is what I want to talk with you about in this series. We're going to examine some very important verses having to do with the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and how all of this relates to Spiritism, the New Age movement, and what the Bible describes as the apostasy or departure from true Christian faith. Well, let me give you a little general direction of where we're headed in this series of programs. In brief, what I want you to see is that according to the Bible, there is going to be a growing apostasy or departure from the faith that will take place inside of the church as well as in the world as we draw near to when the Lord comes back. This departure from the faith is given as a general indication in the Bible that the second coming of Christ is near. Now, let me define words here for you. Let's talk about the rapture, the tribulation time period, and the second coming of Christ. I believe that the Bible teaches that the next great event that will happen to the church is when Christ comes for Christians worldwide, when he suddenly snatches them off planet Earth to be with him in heaven. This is called the rapture, which is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then, following the rapture, there will be a period of time which God will judge the world, which is called the tribulation time period. It lasts for 7 years. And at the end of this tribulation time period, Jesus Christ himself will return from heaven to earth to defeat his enemies and set up his millennial kingdom. Now, concerning the rapture, I do not believe that the Bible gives us any signs to look for that must take place before the rapture can occur. I believe this because the Bible teaches that the rapture is an imminent event. That is, it's an event that could happen at any moment. Nothing needs to take place before the rapture occurs. That's why in many places in the New Testament, you'll see that Christians are admonished to be expecting the coming of the Lord at any moment and are not told to look for signs that will precede the rapture. On the other hand, the Bible does give us signs that precede Christ coming to earth when he will defeat his enemies and set up the millennial kingdom. Now, I've defended this position and presented all of the reasons why I believe this in 4 different television series that we've produced in the past. And by the way, if you would like to order any of these series and study this material for yourself, just call one of our operators now or at the end of our program and ask him for one of these programs listed on the screen. But for those of you who differ with me on when the rapture takes place, don't worry. Whatever position you take, if you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back again, then the material that I'll be presenting to you in this series will generally fit in with your view and be of help and value to you. The reason being that your position on the second coming of Christ and the signs given which will precede that event do include the worldwide apostasy that will take place and that we will be dealing with in these programs. So, where are we going? Well, in brief, here's where we're going. According to the Bible, there will be a growing apostasy or departure from the faith as we draw near to when the Lord Jesus comes back. For those of us who believe that the rapture will take place before the second coming and before the tribulation time period, these signs of this worldwide apostasy indicate the rapture must be very close. For example, if you see signs in the stores and on TV that Christmas will soon be here, of course that's what we see, you know automatically that Thanksgiving, which precedes Christmas, must be even closer. So if we see signs that the second coming is approaching, then those of us who believe the rapture will precede the second coming will see these signs as evidence that the rapture itself could happen at any moment. Now, one final thing. Through the next weeks of time, I'm going to try to outline the progression of this apostasy, first inside the church itself, and then the world. And what I've discovered in tracing these events is that the Bible reveals the conclusion, the wrap-up events of evil, which will take place just before Jesus Christ comes back to earth. We are told in Scripture what will happen. And you know, 30 years ago, when I was studying these verses in seminary, I didn't understand many of these statements. But I believe that the people living in our time, including you and me, can understand these statements about what will happen at the end. That was a surprise to me. Why is it that we can understand what the Bible is saying? Is it because our generation is the generation that will see these events take place? I think so. But of course, that's the question that's at debate right now. And I'm going to ask you if you think the science that the Bible presents about this coming apostasy and the final wrap-up events, which are starting to materialize in our day, I'm going to ask you, how close do you think we are to these wrap-up events? Do you think that Christ could come while you're living? So I think this is going to be a very interesting series. Let's begin with the first verse that will set the basis for what we're going to talk about. It's found in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, where we read this. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I want you to notice, it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking here. And he clearly states that in latter times, some will abandon the faith. Now, those of you who have read your Bible for a long time, you know that the latter times, or the latter days, is a reference to that period of time that started when Jesus Christ came to earth and will last until he comes again to earth. For example, in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, we read, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how? By his Son. So Christ must have come. The Apostle Peter wrote, Christ was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. So if the last days started with Christ coming to earth and will culminate with his return to earth, it means we are living in the last days right now. But then here's this question. What part of the last days are we living in? Are we right at the end before Christ returns? To try and answer this question, we must examine what the Bible says will take place. Now here, I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit clearly states something. He says, some shall depart from the faith. I want you in your Bible to underline the word the. In the Greek text, this is the definite article. When the Bible uses the definite article in front of the word faith, the faith, it is not referring to emotion or some kind of feeling of faith, but it is referring to those propositional truths, those doctrines that make Christianity what it is. Without these truths, without these doctrines, you do not have Christianity. But what are some of the foundational doctrines of Christianity that this is talking about? Well, there's such things as the virgin birth, the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ, his atoning death for our sins on the cross, Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead, the promise of heaven for all believers, and the despair and punishment of hell for all those who reject Christ, the inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, the doctrine of the Trinity. These are just a few. But what I want you to notice is that the Holy Spirit warns that in the latter times, some are going to depart from this faith, from these doctrines, from this content. Now let's stop right here. Let me ask you this. Do you think that this is happening in our day today? Well, let me share some interesting statistics with you. Pulpit Helps is a newspaper that goes out to thousands and thousands of Protestant ministers across our country. Recently, it took a survey of ministers, and a whopping 7,441 responded. And here's what the survey showed. 51% of Methodist ministers, 35% of Presbyterian ministers, 30% of Episcopalian ministers, and 33% of American Baptist ministers stated that they did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, that's astounding. It means that ministers are continuing to be ministers of our churches even though they don't believe basic Christian doctrine. The Apostle Paul said in Scripture, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Further, he said, "If Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins." In other words, if you go to a church where your pastor does not believe and does not preach that Jesus rose from the dead, the Apostle Paul in Scripture said, your pastor's preaching is useless, your faith is useless, and you are still an unforgiven sinner if you believe what your pastor says. Further, the Apostle says that those like my dad who died last year, or maybe your mom or dad, or your wife, your husband, or one of your children who died, if they didn't believe in the resurrection, they're lost. They went to hell. Where does Paul say that? In 1 Corinthians 15:17, he teaches, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ," that is, mom and dad's kids and so on, that have died, what does he say? They're lost. Further, the Apostle Paul says, "If only for this life, we have hope in Christ." That is, there is no resurrection. Jesus just lived, died, and that's it. If that's what you believe, he says, those kinds of Christians are to be pitied more than all men. In other words, there would be no reason to be a Christian. But Paul concludes this: Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. In the same chapter, he claims to be one of the many witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. He says that after Jesus was crucified and buried, that he then arose from the dead and, quote, "appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also." But you know, in spite of Paul's clear teaching in Scripture here, today we still have pastors, apparently, who continue to be ministers, even though they deny this foundational doctrine of Christianity. And this is what the Holy Spirit is talking about, that this deviation from true Christian teaching will be one of the signs of the last days. This departure from the faith will be a sign that we are in the last days, and it will progress, and it will finally culminate in the coming of a world leader who will spiritually deceive the masses and lead them away from every vestige of true Christian belief. In Scripture we're told, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." This is 1 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4. Well, let me give you another example of what I believe the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is talking about. A few years ago, I invited the controversial Episcopalian Bishop of Newark, Bishop John Shelby Spong, to debate Dr. Walter Martin on the topic of sexual ethics. Maybe you remember that Bishop John Shelby Spong was the first Episcopalian bishop to ordain a practicing homosexual into the ministry. Well, in reading his books preparing for the debate, I learned what he said that he believed, and I thought, this man's not even a Christian believer in the biblical sense. He denies all the basic doctrines of Scripture, and yet he's still an Episcopalian bishop. How can this be? So the very first question that I asked him in the debate was, "Bishop Spong, if you deny every Christian doctrine, every propositional truth that makes up what Christianity is, on what basis do you say that you are a Christian?" Well, next week, I hope that you'll join me. And if you do, you'll be able to listen to that portion of the debate and hear Bishop Spong's response. But let's summarize where we're at the end of this first program. The Bible says that in the last days, people will depart from the faith. The religion of the last days, which we're going to look at more in the weeks ahead, will be taught by false teachers teaching false religious beliefs that will depart from true biblical Christianity. And next week, we're going to look at point two, which is actually the next part of 1 Timothy 4:1, which states this: "The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Next week, I'm going to show you excerpts from past television series in which prominent medical doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and religious leaders have told me right on the program that they're getting their advice and information from the spirits. And in the process, they have abandoned the propositional truths of historic Christianity, the very things that this verse says will happen in the latter days. I hope that you'll join me as we continue to try and answer the question, are we living in the last days that indicate Christ's return is near? I hope that you'll join me next week.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.